Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I am your host, Jeffrey Wright. As always, you can stream us live on YouTube, on Twitch, as well as X the Everything app. You can also stream us on the audio-only streams, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app, as always, on the radio dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. Follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey.
Good afternoon to all. My company, he's back in studio. He's my basketball coach. He's your basketball coach. He's everybody's basketball coach. He's also Team Thad's basketball coach, as well as the team director of Team Thad. Follow him on the socials. At Dream Big Herd. Coach Herd, good day, sir.
Great day. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day to all. So everybody we got coming up on the program. It's Wednesday. We'll start with some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. Get into last night's Grizzlies win over the Spurs. Get into the U being back, as well as some college football playoff. Then Jason Munn's going to join us next segment. We'll get his thoughts on Tiger basketball. Listen, they don't ask how. They ask how many. Tigers are 2-0 in conference play. That's about it. We'll talk to Munns about what he saw last week with Tiger basketball. Get into the list. After we left the air, I think one of the last questions we pondered yesterday was, what was the best available job in the NFL? Well, after hitting the road yesterday, heading back home, Tim texted me, the Ravens job is the best job that is still available. And I think it might be fair to say this. We've never had a hiring cycle where the difference between the best job and whatever the second best job is has been wider. Like that feels, I mean, I guess you could make the argument when Mora got fired and you're sitting there with like Peyton Manning in his prime, the Colts job. But I mean, you got to remember the reputation at that point was like, Peyton was Mr. Regular Season. Although, who does that sound like? Anybody? Anybody out there? Who's that sound like? We'll talk about that. We'll also get into the latest drama of the day with the transfer portal. I'm woke on this. I'm woke on the everyone saying Damon Williams is actually ruining college football. I don't think anyone's actually saying it. I think it's a media thing. I think someone is... Like, someone will go on Twitter and see, you know, some actual responses from just fans that are pissed off and act like that is the consensus. I don't even think that's remotely reality. So we'll talk about that. Take a look at the college football playoffs as well as Awful Announcing's got the 10 best Super Bowl matchups. what would be the best for NBC? Because that's all we care about right now, right? What's best for TV? That's truly all we care about. So we'll do that. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But, George, let's waste no more time. Let's do some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. All right, boys. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. Not playing Wimby during the last 3 minutes is a bad look for the NBA. So he played 21, and I think he came out with 345. Now, John.
Yes.
John went to the game. George was also there. John said that he watched Wimby try to get up and check himself back in, and then the staff pulled him back.
So.
And I'm going to trust John's word on that one. I have no idea one way or the other, but that feels like a pretty outrageous thing to just say. Like, yeah, so I'm not.
He definitely, at one point, it was pretty late in the game. Like, I mean, obviously he was benched due to that minutes restriction late in the game. I mean, 3:45 left in the game is late in the game. With about, I want to say it was like 2 minutes, maybe 1:45 left, I saw him get up, and I'm thinking, okay, yeah, they were just sitting him for like a minute or two, let him get his legs back under him. I mean, this is his first game in a handful of games.
Because what's the
calf injury?
Is there an under three media timeout in the fourth quarter?
No.
Or is that the use it or lose it, Mark?
Use it or lose it.
Okay, so there's only the last media timeout, six in the fourth?
Believe so.
Okay, so.
Which, for what it's worth, I had big questions for Mitch Johnson because they had, 11 seconds left with Fox getting the ball to take the lead on that last possession. They had two timeouts.
I was kind of okay with it. Coach, you can weigh in, obviously. I'm cool with it in the sense that nobody's set defensively. Like, yes, the one thing that I would say that works in your favor is he did not get the ball going towards the basket. He right. kind of had to, like, spin around. Like, he was even facing his own basket at one point, and then he goes, but the Grizzlies were nowhere near set.
True.
But are the Grizzlies really a team that you're worried about?
Whether they're set or not?
Like, for instance, if I'm the Grizzlies and I'm playing, let's use the Sixers last week because of how athletic they are, I do not want to take a timeout to draw up the last play. Unless I'm just trying to – there's a second and a half and I'm just trying to advance the basketball.
Advance it so you can get a shot off.
With 11 right. seconds, that's plenty of time.
Right.
So if I'm not just trying to advance the basketball, I would not call a timeout against the Sixers because if I call a timeout, I'm not sure the Grizzlies would get the basketball in. But I was kind of cool with that. Let's see. He got the ball back with 14.3.
Right.
So Sochan gets the rebound and then fires it back to Fox with fifth, whatever. So I think when Fox got the ball in his hands, it was something like 12 seconds.
Sure.
But like to me, like that was plenty of time. I think I'm going to sell it. I think we can agree it's not a good look. But I also am willing to accept this might be a Spurs thing more so than just the NBA. It is also important to note they play tonight and they play the Lakers, and you'll never guess, but it's on ESPN. I think part of what happened last night, Tuesday night game, local broadcast, NBA's not really going to say anything. But the other reason why I want to sell it is if there's one organization that consistently does not care what you tell them, how they're going to manage their roster and manage their players, it would be the San Antonio Spurs. Again, I have no idea if we can actually pinpoint whether or not Kawhi Leonard's patient zero for load management, but the Spurs were clearly an organization that adopted it before anyone else, whether it be with Duncan, Ginobili, and I get it. They had older players, and they were trying to manage that and get the best they can. But like they are clearly the team that popularized it, and because they were so good, everyone else started copying it.
No, for sure. With that, the Spurs, I think Kawhi took it so far that he even bumped heads with them. They were like,
no, they were even like, this is too far. Yeah. Hold on. Hold on. You don't tell us how to do this. We invented this.
Hold on, man. We did this for a part-time job, not a career.
We did this for a seven-footer in his late 30s. Yeah, we know how to do this.
We just trying to deal with dad. We not trying to. So he took it that far. I would say I would sell it too, just because when you say the question, is it a bad look for the NBA? That's pretty broad. I think outside of Spurs and Memphis fans, I don't even think a lot of people is just really talking about this thing as much as us. Maybe I didn't miss something. I watched ESPN some the day.
So it'll be interesting. Right now, what do we call the show? NBA Today.
They're talking about it.
Well,
they
have the game up. I'm willing to bet they don't talk about it. But I'm also willing to bet they don't talk about it because this show does not cover the NBA. This show promotes the NBA.
Okay.
This is a PR show.
PR show.
Correct.
So I have been seeing them talk about the Lakers today. And also what I would say on
that. No way, really?
Yeah, the Lakers and Spurs.
They found a way?
Yeah. They've been talking about that because they've been the big deal of LeBron going back-to-back, right? So.
Didn't he have 30 last night? Oh, we got to talk about this.
Instead of that. Now.
Is he shaving his head?
I think he's lightly starting to do it.
Did he finally throw in the towel?
Not the full towel. So with Urban, guys, you have this thing before it go all the way like a shadow ball.
Right, like a...
It looks to me like he's, like, Jordan shaved it. Like, took, like, a Gillette razor because, you know, Jordan didn't do anything for free.
Like,
Jordan shaved it down. It looks like Bron has taken, like, the Clippers with no guard. And just
hit it.
Right.
But he still had a, that's why I say he tried to have a baby shadow almost like how Doc was doing at first or some people.
So
like,
he had no headband the other night and he had no paint either.
Yeah.
So.
I think the term's enhancements.
Listen, this is the one thing I can, this is the one, like the one physical trait I can look down and be smug as all get out. I have plenty of physical attributes that are not flattering.
Yeah.
I have phenomenal hair.
You do.
Correct.
You do. And you get an awesome haircut. Correct. Once
every
month.
Every
6 months. And they act like he don't.
It was technically
like
5 months and 10 days.
But I think I don't think it's a huge thing for the NBA. And also, I actually think that coach is doing a phenomenal job this year. It's hard to replace a Greg Popovich, but that guy is doing a good job, and I think he's also respecting the rules. Ain't they on minute restriction? If he's on minute restriction, it's a certain number, and if they got into that, maybe he didn't manage that earlier in the game to set it for the end. But if it has reached that, then it's like a kind of like he's following the hefty protocol too.
Yeah, so
I
clearly,
will say,
clearly it should have been a 20-minute, because he finishes, what, 21 minutes?
21.
Like, so clearly – it's 20 minutes, and then maybe the whistle didn't blow or whatever. Like, you know,
right. It was a rebound or under the basket instead of a timeout, something
correct.
Like that goes over. I know for sure it was a minutes restriction. I was not there as a fan last night. I was working, so
yeah.
I was working with the Spurs broadcasters, and they were like, yeah, Wemby's been dealing with a couple little things, calf strain, ankle, you know, knee, but it's all just soreness, so it's all just management.
Yeah, so if y'all still put that out there, I think from my standpoint, this is not something that would have happened if he was healthy. This is not something that's going to go on forever. This is not something in the playoffs. 20 minutes, and I don't think fans realize this, that's only 5 minutes a quarter. And so when you get it like that, you got to realize once it hit, it hits. So they kind of would have been irresponsible going against their healthy health protocol that they set. Because 25 and 20 minutes are two big different things with a guy that you're trying to get back healthy.
Yeah, I guess this is kind of how I look at it. Number one, I am glad they didn't play him. Because you may be someone out there that believes, you know, you always want to play a team at their best. I care about the scoreboard. And especially when a team like the Grizzlies that you're going to be basically fighting in this category between 7 and being out of the play-in. Like, you're going to be in that war. And so when they have an opportunity to knock off a team like the Spurs and it's greatly aided by the fact that Wimby's not on the floor, please and thank you. So I've got no problem with that. What I do think is a larger NBA issue, and this is not really last night specific, I would actually argue this is the Adam Silver era. They, unlike every other sport, they have downgraded and de-emphasized their regular season at a much, much faster rate than any other sport. Now, I want to be clear, if you don't think load management's not happening in the NFL, then you're just not paying attention. Because like that's kind of the other thing that I think is going to be super interesting starting this week and next week. I kind of think there have been some teams that have been load managing at the end. For instance, I really think even though it was a play for the one seed and play for the division, I really believe if that was the all-or-nothing playoff game, Trent Williams would have played for the Niners. I think Pearsall probably plays. Like, the guys that were kind of iffy, I think they decided, yeah, we'd love to have the extra week off, and we'd probably like to not play the Eagles, but we gotta see if an extra week helps. Yeah. And so I think Rams, I think, are kind of in a similar spot, especially with all of their injuries up front. And honestly, we'll find out here in the next week or two. I think the way that the Eagles have run their offense has been load managing. I find it hard to believe Jalen Hurts is going to have on Sunday that Jalen Hurts is going to have four designed rushes. I think he's probably going to run the ball closer to 10 to 15 times. And to me, that's load management. That's them going, it ain't about the regular season, man. But it's nowhere near at the level that we see with the NBA, which now it feels like they really don't even care. Like, I think we saw it even kind of with the Lakers 2 years ago or two playoffs ago. If they got to even come through the play-in, so be it. But it's just like they just have to make the tournament. And to me, that's a bigger issue, but I don't know if I necessarily would say that Wimby last night equates that. But my actual concern is how little they emphasize the regular season.
Yeah, now that is something you probably would buy. But like you say, last night, and, you know, we didn't have Jai either, so it's all fair games. And to piggyback what you said about the NFL, ooh, the NFL is tough because we went from being the number one seed to this is a crazy spot.
Well, let's just go right to number two.
We in like the sixth seed playing the Eagles at their house. I'm like, oh, shoot. Like,
all right, we got to get to it. Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. The Niners lost the number one seed by wearing those trash uniforms on Saturday night. All right, did you like them? Because Twitter came after me. I think that they were a disgrace, okay, an abomination, because the Niners have one of the best uniforms in the entire NFL.
Yeah.
And even when you, like, that's the great thing about the Niners is, do I prefer the 90s uniforms? Sure. But you can wear either of those. When they came out with the black with the weird Orange County Choppers font, like, that to me said you are not serious about winning the number one seed and getting the spot.
I think the jerseys caused it.
Yes.
I'm going to have to say all that.
All right, do you actually like, so my college roommate is a Niners fan.
Yep.
And we have a group chat with him and his hometown buddies that they grew up like an hour and a half from San Francisco, and they're all Niners fans. They thought they slapped. Now, my roommate believing that made all the sense in the world. He's always had terrible fashion taste.
Yeah.
So like that was fine. It's like, well, if he has it, probably his friends do too. I don't even know if this was like a generational thing. Like, I just thought like those were disgusting to me.
So I was on the side where I just thought they was okay. They didn't have to be there. I didn't know what they were doing. I was just like, well, what's going on here? I was more concerned with the game and their play. And even that game being such a low score, you know, I'm like, what's, because, you know, we had just, the last game I had watched the whole game was like the Bears game where we looked like,
correct,
we could.
Did you score too many points that game?
Yeah, we should have left some in the
tank.
I think we had to score.
Problem
all
is, you needed all 42
yeah,
or whatever it was.
Yeah, because Caleb and them was doing it. They had
42-38. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think we had to. And now the Bears even sitting there with a good seed. Ain't they the two seed?
They are the two seed, but they have their worst case scenario, or at least for Bears fans, the worst case scenario. They are the two seed, and they've unquestionably had a better year than the Packers, but they have to play the Packers at home.
At their home.
Correct. But if the Packers beat them, it will make the season feel like it was not what it was, which was clearly a very good season and a sign. Like, everything that you needed to see, which was your new coach look like that he's a good coach, check. And you needed to see improvement from Caleb, check. Like, everything else is gravy, but the fact that, like, your arch enemy can knock you out, that is not fun.
I don't know what the spread is, Jeff, but I'm going with the Bears.
1.5.
It was a pretty low line last I saw.
I want to say it was Packers 1.5.
So Packers are the favorite.
Correct. Well, I mean, I've not looked today, and that's one of those lines that I feel like could bounce around a little bit.
I'm seeing Green Bay minus 1.5.
Yeah, Green Bay by 1.5. I mean, it's a coin flip.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the Bears are going to win.
So I was doing some research last night. In the wild card round, home underdogs, I want to say it was like 16-7. All right, let's see. Because who else is catching points at home?
But Jeffrey, when
Steelers maybe are catching.
When you do this, Jeffrey, when you get home later, do this too. Do that same thing minus the, what is that, the NFC South? Because usually they're.
Well, that's a fun one. You ready? Road favorites against teams with a losing record are just 2-4 straight up, and they're 1-5 against the spread. And when you have favorites of more than a field goal, they're 0-3 against the spread, and they're 1-2 with two outright losses.
I guess home field can mean a lot, but I know them NFC South over the years, some of them they got in like tied records, losing
well,
records.
Well, oftentimes what happens,
this year.
It's not just a team.
Because we're talking about the Saints and Buccaneers. I'm talking about that's the NFC South,
oh,
right?
I did confirm the NFC South does lead the NFL in most sub-500 division champions. This is their third. There have been five such examples in NFL history. This is their third. So they got 60%. But oftentimes what happens is because it's usually an NFC South team and it's usually playing like an NFC West team that won 12 games, not only is it they're playing at home, it's usually a team that's having to travel all the way across the country. Like, it was the inverse when the Seahawks had it in the Beastquake game, but the Saints had to go all the way up to Seattle. And then they got Beastquaked. And then the other one was...
No, Tampa didn't been
Panthers. I think Arizona had to go play the Panthers in like 2014. Tampa was a favorite against the 7-9, the 7-9 Commanders, or maybe it was the football team at the time, the Heineke game, and that's the one win, but they did not cover.
They didn't cover.
Yeah.
And then the NFC East have had some years where somebody was tied.
Giants have definitely gotten in at 8-8.
Yeah.
I think Eli's first playoff year, 8-8. First Super Bowl was 9-7.
Yeah, because the NFC East,
I think,
was
10-6 in the other one.
Didn't the Cowboys get in one year with a Cowboys and Eagles with a low record?
I want to say, the last time in the COVID year, the Commanders or whatever, the football team won it at 7-9. I think that's our only losing record NFC champion, NFC East champion. Beast.
So we treat it like the college playoff and say like they can't get that home. Like if you're not over 500, you shouldn't get a. You know how we treat the P5 and sixes now. Like the first year you gave them a bye, which was ridiculous. This is starting to get like tail with the NFC South a little bit, win or lose, because there are people. The 49ers should not be 13-4, and we got to go play the Eagles on the first round.
All right, so this is where I struggle. Because on the one hand, as kind of an agent of chaos, I low-key love it. Because they didn't surprise you. You knew this was the rule. And I think it does add an element of, it keeps fans of bad teams interested longer. Where I struggle with it is from a competition standpoint, which is Well, then why did they play the 17 games? But did I low-key love last year when it was Minnesota and Detroit on the very last game of the regular season? Winner gets the one seed, losers hopping on a plane and heading to go play the Rams? Yeah, that was like awesome theater.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, it kept us engaged with a Saints-Falcons Week 17 game when...
God, Baker looked so sad. That was so mean by his wife.
Oh, what? Taking the video of
his
him watching the
game? His wife was like reality TVing it. So, because, you know, the Bucs won on Saturday, meaning that if the Falcons lost to the Saints, they would go in. But if the Falcons beat the Saints, it didn't matter that they won against the Panthers on Saturday. The Panthers just went in. And so his wife is just like watching him sadly watch the football game because the Saints never had the lead. And then he was even doing the move. This is where athletes can't ever do the whole fans are so silly. Like, it's only a thing fans think about. Baker was clearly moving from one room to the other based on how the game was going. Like, when it was bad, he went to the kitchen to watch the game to change up the vibes. Like, y'all are just like us. Like, yeah. you view it the same way. You've got, like, your lucky socks. You got whatever. Like, you're no different than us. Like, you think that you can change it. But, like, it was so mean of his wife because he just looked so sad the whole time.
Yeah, she got him on that one. And even Baker threw out there, if it was a tie, they would have won. Like, he, like, correct. I'm not even. But I know the Saints had a couple cool games. I don't think no one thought that the Saints was going to win that game. Like people were saying.
They've been playing frisky enough, but, I mean, they were I think, like, they were three-point dogs, and they lost by two.
Yeah, it was something like that. I mean, even funnier on top of it is just the fact that the Falcons win, and then the same day or the next morning, they're like, oh, hey, by the way, we're cleaning house.
Oh, no.
I don't care that we won.
They waited 10 minutes. I don't even think the 325 games had kicked off and they had fired Raheem Morris.
And he had won like four straight games.
Yeah.
They said he got caught up, honestly, from other people. If you go do some research and other reporters that cover that team said he got caught up and he really wasn't set to fully get fired the way he ended. They just cleaned in house just all around the board. Just feel like they wanted to make a big...
Yeah,
statement.
If I'm him, my excuse is I wanted to play Kirk Cousins because Penix has flashed, and I'm somebody who has Penix stock, so this hurts me. But it was very obvious when Kirk got in there, they were way more consistent. And so that would have been my excuse as well. Look at our record since we turned to Kirk Cousins. The problem is, well, that's not what the owner wants to hear because he's drafted Michael Penix, and that guy's the future. And essentially, it only happened because of injury. So that would be mine. I don't know. I just think Raheem's probably going to fall into the category of, like, he's going to be like Jim Spagnuolo, where, like, he's always going to be a defensive coordinator that is highly in demand, very good at it. I'm just not sure he's ever going to be the best head coach.
So in 2 years, he went 8-9. I'm a big proponent of, especially in pro sports, maybe college, but in pro sports, unless you just do that much of a disaster or have a year where you're 1-17 or oh, I think you got to give people at least 3 years. I think anything less, the 1 year stuff is crazy. You have to, me, have to been killed somebody or committed a crazy crime. 2 years, I think you just buzzing. I think it takes three. Even if you're winning or losing, even to see if that first year was real when you won all them games or not, I think 3 games should be a minimal. 3 years, my bad, should be a minimal. Unless it's just, like I say, you just bumping in by watching the game. But a lot of these coaches, the reason I'm going to say, unlike the Ravens job, like, no disrespect to the Giants and other people, it's like, for us, me to be getting this job, it got to be most of these jobs are very bad situations. That has been bad for a while. You're bringing me into turning around. I can't do it in 1 day or 1 year or two. You know what I mean? Like, the Falcons hadn't went to the playoffs for many, many years before him. You know what I mean? Like, so.
Well, I don't like having a blanket statement. In general, I do agree with you. I think the two things we're doing way too quickly, we're bailing on quarterbacks too soon, and we're bailing on coaches too soon. With that said, the only time the owners seem to care about fan reaction is when they're worried about butts in seats. Let's be clear. They don't care anything about what we want unless it affects their wallet. And so they think if they bring a coach back, season ticket sales go down 30%, then they're going to make the move. That seems to be the only motivating factor. Because there's really... I mean, also you run into the situation like with Arthur Blank where, I mean, Arthur's knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Mm-hmm. And he's probably sitting there thinking, like, how many more realistic shots do I have to do? Like, am I going to get at this while I'm alive? I'm going to do everything. And so, clean house. Fontenot gone, who's been there for like 25 years. Like, just a complete, like, gutting. But, like, I don't know. Does anyone really have a problem that Pete Carroll got fired?
I kind of do on that. Just from a, I know this was, this is was a very, this season was awful. And maybe I'm taking sports, I'm not emotional with it, but I have respect for certain people. Like, I don't think nobody should get fired after 1 year because it was a hellhole before he got there. It had been a hellhole for years. And this guy clearly know what he's doing. He's probably the best coach in the history of the Raiders in the last 15 years.
I mean, we did go through it, and the last time they had a coach for more than
Jack
2 years was Del Rio.
And that was when they were in Oakland.
That's a program.
Now, I think Gruden would have gotten...
He would have gotten a third year.
Like, Gruden would have... But
the email thing.
But the emails. Because he called Goodell an anti-football P-word, and so then they leaked out the emails of him, like, making fun of the old NFLPA guy.
Oh, like some of the racist stuff.
Right. Well, they,
not racist, but joking about his.
The league was trying to paint him as a racist, but the reality is he just hated the NFLPA guy.
Yeah.
It's like, no. It's the old, God, who was the guy for the Falcons that said, Bobby Petrino is the least racist guy I know because he hates everybody.
Yeah.
I think it was a Falcons guy. It's like an all time quote. There was something like not a racist bone in his body. He hates everybody the same. Like it was just an all-timer. But I do think in general there's kind of a, I'm not saying it's a direct relationship, but if we're talking about teams that are patient and have more sustained success, it feels like there's a lot more teams in the we're patient that have success than the teams that do what the Raiders do. Now, is that also just related to... Because there's one team that will kind of pull the cord a little quickly that we don't talk about that is successful. Like, the Eagles were pretty damn close to pulling the plug on Sirianni. They didn't, and it worked out, but, like, the Eagles pulled the plug on Peterson, what, a year after he won the Super Bowl? Maybe it was two. Because I think they went to this... They won the Super Bowl with Foles, and then I think... The double doink was the next year. And then I think they fired him after that.
But is like, that
they'll kind of pull the Eagles will kind of pull the plug quickly.
But the one guy, I mean, that also could be like they feel like they have stability higher up. I mean, Roseman's been there since 2010.
Yeah, I think
they've had a high level of success with him.
I think it also kind of depends on, like, with Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll was obviously option like number 7.
Really?
Yeah.
I think so.
Too. Well, I mean, he was like only on like a 3-year deal. And for a coach in the NFL to get hired on a 3-year deal, like that's not.
It's not normal.
That's not normal.
Yeah.
Although, shout out to the Raiders. The Raiders are now a college team. They have $50 million in coaches' buyouts for coaches that aren't going to coach for them.
That's crazy. They still making a lot of money. But Pete Carroll, I'm going to say this, guys. Why would you give him, you know, and I'm not God or anything, but with his age, you can't give him no 7-year deal or nothing. Like, I didn't feel like he was coaching more. I think you bring Pete Carroll in the same reason you bring in Michigan coach. Kind of clean it up, get respectful before you.
I think the problem with Pete Carroll is he also clearly had roster decision control. Like, I think Ashton Jeanty's a very good football player, but I do not know how you could walk into that team and go, you know what, we need to draft 7th overall, a running back. Like, my thing is, you draft the running back when you kind of got everything else. Because I also think we went way too far when they never draft a running back in the first round. Like, I think that was a mistake. But I do think if you're a bad team, a la the New York Football Giants, Saquon was good every single year for the Giants that he played. Didn't matter. Yeah, he goes to the Eagles and they win a Super Bowl. It's like, well, they were already, like, they just needed one extra piece. And they're good to go. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk some Tiger football. We'll do that next right here on Tiger basketball with Munz. Right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you, you know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Jason Munz is the Tiger Basketball beat writer for The Commercial Appeal. Follow him on the Everything app at Munzley. Also, make sure you check out the latest edition of the Tiger Basketball podcast that we'll discuss here in just a moment. But Munz, what are we listening to?
Jeffrey, this is the Born Liars.
That's a great band name.
Yeah, I like it. There's a little bit of a story. I'll explain. The song is called "Make Up Your Mind." It's off their album called "Hard to Wave in Handcuffs."
Okay.
As you know, I travel for work, I like to go to these record stores in various cities, and I found one in Houston that I hadn't been to yet when I went to over for the Rice game, and it's called Sound Exchange. Really great place. I was thumbing through the local section, and I happened upon the the record that you're listening to, and was immediately drawn to the name.
It's just a great band name.
Not because I relate to it, but yes, just a great band name, Born Liars. I was like, let's get this, and that's one of the songs off the album that I got.
I do love your going to a new city, like let's go find a record store and go fish around. All right, so
yeah, I went to one that I've been to a couple times already, Sig's Lagoon, great spot, and then I went to this one and got the Born Liars, and then got a copy of Night Cobra's In Praise of the Shadow. So that'll be next week.
All right, speaking of things that you've seen before, have you ever seen a team up multiple scores in the final 30 seconds still setting up their press?
Multiple scores.
I think they were up at least six. I think they might have done it up seven, still making sure they set up that press.
Yeah, no, I don't. I can't say I have. I cannot say I have. That was.
And, like, I'm not including, like, if you want to do the. I'm totally fine if you don't want to let the guys roll the basketball up, whatever, walk the dog. If you want to have somebody come pressure the ball to make sure the clock starts running, that's fine. That was beyond me. Like, I don't know, like, that. I don't know what was happening there, but I kind of wonder this. Do you think that this is this like the lowest basketball IQ team we've seen with Penny? Because I just feel like we're sitting here in January and we're still talking about just mind-numbing mistakes, whether it be crowding a shooter with 40 seconds left, giving him a three, like throwing the ball away when there's absolutely no need to, when like late in the games. Like I just feel like they consistently show a lack of basketball awareness.
Yes. The answer is yes. My answer to that is yes. I mean, that's not to say that there haven't been low basketball IQ moments in the past, in recent years. I mean, like the stuff 2 years ago down the stretch where it was, I think they finished 7-8 in their last 15 games. And obviously the big collapse and all that, like there were some moments during that stretch where it was like, what is going on? And then there was, you know, there's been in previous years before that, there were stop asking me stupid effing questions.
Yep.
Season, a couple of 4-game losing streaks in that season, if I recall, where there was, you know, some really head scratching things taking place. But like, as far as like consistently, yes, like the over helping, the just complete and but some of this stuff, like the lazy closeouts,
yeah,
and things like that, and leaving shooters open, and those sorts of things. Like, I don't know that some of that you can like almost explain away with other stuff, like just a lack of effort, like not necessarily low basketball IQ, although that certainly is possible too. I don't know, but yes. It has been more pervasive this season, like on a consistent basis, than at least from where I stand, from where I'm watching, and it sounds like from where you're watching too, than any other year under Penny.
I really do not want to make this segment just a consistent week after week discussing the rotations, but I could not help but notice, after a extremely bad first half, one of the worst first halves we've seen the Tigers play, yeah, lo and behold, in the second half, the rotation got cut down to 8 players. It might have even been less had there not been foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Is it any surprise that they played a lot better?
I don't think so. But you know what? Like, okay, so I've listened to a couple of interviews. I've listened to Penny's. I've listened to Penny talk on radio right after the game. I went back and listened to his interview with me and other reporters right after that. Listened to him talk on his coach show on Monday, and he does bring. I mean, like, this is his side of it, of the argument, that it's like a chicken or the egg thing. Is it that they play better when there are fewer substitutions, or is it that Penny doesn't substitute as much when they play better.
No, I mean, you and I have talked about this where I want to be fair because, as I said to you last week, I don't think there's anybody that thinks about his basketball team more than Penny Hardaway does. I think that is 100% true, and I'm not even pretending like that's not the case. I find it really hard to believe that you have 11 guys that are really interchangeable.
Yeah, I mean, but that is his stance, and he is sticking to it. And we all have our opinions, and it does seem it is difficult to accept that for people on the outside looking in, and I'm one of them. Like, that is not something that is easy to wrap your mind around it, again, from the outside looking in. But for what it's worth, the way Penny explains it and continues to explain it this way is, when I get into a game, there are two things. We've got 10 or 12 guys that I feel like are all capable of starting games on this roster this season at Memphis. And then B, when I put a group of five players on the floor and two or three or four or however many aren't doing what I put them out there to do, which is to run hard, to box out, to stick to the game plan, to run the plays, to execute, then they're going to come out. Then they're going to come out. Like, I have to do something. I can't just stand there and let them continue to do those things that I just mentioned without any repercussions, without any accountability. I've got to do something. So that is his stance. That is what he is saying. That's like his rationale for the whole, substituting, like high volume substituting. It does, but then you look on the other side of the coin and you see the evidence that is there that, like, early in that second half, after Rice opened the half with two threes in the span of less than 60 seconds, Penny only substituted, I think, once or twice over like almost 7 minute span, and Memphis outscored Rice by 13 points during that stretch. And so the evidence is there. It is just one game. That is just one example. Fair enough.
And it was a trap game.
I feel like we probably could, in all fairness to Penny, I feel like there's probably an example somewhere on the schedule this season where he went with, five, six, seven guys over an extended period of time and it didn't work. You know what I mean? So the other team outscored his team by 13.
UNLV, wasn't there a stretch where I don't feel like it was, like, in the second half he started playing, like, I felt like in the first half, wasn't there a stretch where, like, the same guys were kind of playing and they got smoked?
Probably. I mean, I do. The one thing that I recall about that UNLV game is that they were down really big and they cut it to eight at one point. I should go back and look and see, like, how many players played during those, like, during the stretch where they were getting smoked and then during the stretch where they cut it to eight.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you on that.
All right. The other thing I was thinking about, and it kind of dovetails into one of the questions that you got in your mailbag this week, is part of the other issue, as you mentioned, I believe there's the possibility of eight guys could return, guys that have extended eligibility. And I was sitting there going, all right, is part of this because I don't think Penny's dumb. And I think Penny knows that, like a lot of people, they're seeing like, okay, we got to focus maybe more on getting some continuity. Is part of it a balancing act of trying to keep enough people happy that maybe it doesn't give you the best chance to win tonight, but maybe it gives you the best chance to get these guys back and have a more stable program?
Listen, I've considered that. I've even considered the possibility that, like, you know, we're gonna talk about Simon Majok for a minute, the 7-foot freshman who, you know, Penny started playing in the Bahamas, and he's like, whoa. I mean, there was a lot of people, including myself.
No, I said the same thing. I was like, this guy's got some stuff to him.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what he's doing, but I was like, he's at least got, like, you can see, like, there's something there.
Yes. Yes. He's definitely got something. And so, like, there's part of me that is, like, along the lines of what you were suggesting a second ago about, you know, trying to keep some of these, maybe under all normal other circumstances, you might not necessarily play as many guys, but, like, listen, there's, like, I don't want to keep doing this anymore where we have zero returners from the season before, so I got to start taking steps to play, you know, to give some minutes to some guys that may not necessarily otherwise get them. Like, I'm considering the possibility that, I don't think this is true, but, like, at least it crossed my mind that what if, you know, reducing Simon Majok's minutes is a way to sort of hide him a little bit so that other schools don't come calling as often, as early and often this coming off season, so that, like, it would give him a better chance to keep Simon moving forward. Again, I don't think that's the case, but it does, you know, some of this stuff does cross your mind as you're thinking about why certain people are being played and utilized the way they are.
Well, and I mean, I also, again, I openly admit, like you do, that this could be a Stretch Armstrong. I do think he probably knew when the non-conference schedule was going the way that it did. And I think he also knows the scoreboard of, maybe I don't have, you know, Texas Tech money here, but I got more money than the rest of the league. And all that really is going to matter is I got to finish first or second, and then we got to win 2 games in Birmingham. And that's our path. I can see where you're trying to consider, because I do think he is aware he needs to have more continuity than he does. I also don't blame him, because I think he's kind of doing it out of necessity. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So yes, I agree with you. I think he has accepted and understands that the way it's unsustainable to do it this way. Every year. I mean, like, it, you know, he brought one guy back for last year's team, and it worked amazingly. And he's bringing zero guys back from that team, and it's not gone so well so far this year. So, but I do think that he has, you know, that he realizes that he has said that, you know, there's got to be more carryover than there has been the past couple of years. And so, you know, again, I'm not, this is all totally just,
oh, this is, know, radio speculation. This is me watching these games and trying to make sense of it.
Right. Now, that's totally fair. But yeah, I mean, like, this is just us speculating. I fully believe in my heart of hearts that the decisions that Penny Hardaway is making with who gets the minutes and when and all that stuff is based on his efforts to try to win games. So, but no, I mean, like, the main part of this story, the main chunk of this topic is that, hey, there's 8 guys on this roster who have eligibility beyond this season, which is more than last season's roster. And I think that there are, like, I think he is going to make a strong push to prioritize probably a good handful of those 8 guys to come back and be part of the foundation of next year's team, which I think will go many miles toward setting up success for next year.
All right. What are you looking for on Sunday when they go to FAU?
FAU is, like, I think, kind of a tricky matchup. They shoot the 3 pretty well. They don't turn the ball over a lot. They don't turn their opponents over a lot either, but they do have a positive turnover ratio. Like, they turn the ball over less than they make their opponents turn it over, which is, you know, could be tricky for Memphis.
Wait, you can do that?
Yeah, that is possible. So I'm looking for that. They have one of the best shot blockers in the country. Devin Williams is like sixth in the country in blocks right now. So that'll be interesting to see how they try to combat that. Looking for a great atmosphere.
I'll just say, do we think it's going to be another humid gym?
I mean, it's like, who the heck knows? Last year it was freezing cold. The year before it was sweltering. So it's always anybody's guess what it's going to be like down there. But I think, I love it. I am a big fan of the environment down there, in Boca Raton. So I'm always looking forward to that trip, but,
you like going to Boca, especially in January.
Yeah. Hot take. Definitely. Uh-huh. But no, it's, I think it's another, like, I think Memphis is going to win. And that would move them to 3-0 in the conference and four straight wins. And that's good stuff, but they're going to have to tighten up. They can't turn the ball over 15 plus times like they've done each of the last five games if they're going to win that game.
All right, Munns, we appreciate you.
Okay, thanks, Jeffrey.
Jason Munns.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.